In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. One of my favorite collects in the church year today, God always resists the proud who confide in their own strength. He's talking about us. And then we get a wonderful passage from James, from the pen of the brother of the Lord, talking to us about that danger of showing favoritism. And of course, when we think of that, we think of the wealth of that person that comes in and gets treated well, as opposed to the poverty when one is not, and he very much berates the church for treating people like this. But what is it about that wealthy one that comes into our presence that we want? It's that we want to be attached to their power and their resource. We're naturally drawn to that. So whether it's confiding in my own power or showing favoritism to someone whose power I might get to take advantage of, the problem may be one and the same. I'm not going to spend much energy or time on someone who can't do me any good because they've got nothing. Think also of this woman who comes to Jesus. Her daughter is oppressed by an evil spirit. So she's got several things going against her. One, she's a Gentile. Two, she's a woman. Three, it's a daughter that's in trouble. And culturally speaking, that doesn't matter so much. So why should you get any of the gift? Well, all of these persons, these useless ones, the deaf, the mute, who couldn't speak. Same, similar kind of problem. He's not really good to anyone. Would have been a beggar. We hear at the beginning the prophet Isaiah, the Lord saying to us, but I'm going to make the desert into a spring of water. There's very little you can do with desert land. We understand this. I'll pick on my wife a little bit. She's been trying to grow things in the backyard for the last 3 years. A few little things grow. Even with water, it doesn't do much. It's very difficult. Yet God says, I'm going to take that land that doesn't produce. I'm going to take that land that is parched. I'm going to take that land that nobody really wants, and I'm going to make it a spring of water. So what does that say about the deaf mute that, according to culture, is worthless? I'm going to make it a spring of living water. What does it say about that young woman who's oppressed by an evil spirit, who doesn't matter so much to anybody? I'm going to make her live. What does it say about that poor person that comes into our midst, or that you come across on the street, that person that's weak for whatever reason, whether it's an oppression of their spirit, whether it's a brokenness of their body, whether it's their story that makes them so badly crippled in their relationships that they just don't seem to be doing anybody any good, and you can't see the potential in them? They are the desert that God intends to make a spring of water. But what does that say about those of us who seem to be attracted to power, to ability, to self-support? God resists those of us who do that. God resists us when we think we're good enough. God resists the proud who confide in their own strength do not become springs of water. God pushes back against that. But where does the key come in? Where do I, as a person who likes my own strength, who likes my own list of accomplishments, who likes to line up my morality against somebody else's and show God how good I am? Somebody who likes to show off how smart I am, how right I am. Get everybody to listen to me. If they just listened to me, everything would be okay. That's me, God. See, I got this. How do I go from being a person whom God resists to being that patch of desert that God will make a spring of water out of? Because that's really where my hope is. The answer lies in the woman's answer to Jesus when he says, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And she says, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that the children drop. I'm nothing. I don't have a right to sit at the table. I have no pedigree that says I get to be treated special. I have no power when I stand in front of you. I can't do anything for you. I can't impress you. I can't fix the world. I can't. I'm one of the dogs under the table. I'm the deaf and mute man. I'm the desert. Nothing comes out of me unless you make me a spring of living water and give it to me. It's our own opinion of ourselves that gets in the way. It's when I think I'm good enough, when I think I'm smart enough, when I think I'm enough. That's when God pushes back. And I doubt when God pushes hard, any one of us can stand up to it. But when we are willing to say how weak we are, when we are willing to say how vulnerable we are, honestly, in our prayer before God, say these things. Honestly, in our dealings with one another, then we can become. That's the one God wants to make into the pool. And the thing is, this is not that lecture on seeing the potential in everyone you meet. Okay? That's a worldly way of thinking. This person has the potential to become something great. I usually can't see it. You don't have to see it. You're not looking for their potential. You're believing God's intentions for them. That's a totally different thing. Yeah, if you're a talent scout, you look for potential. We're not talent scouts. We're looking for the driest patches of desert we can find. We're looking for the deafest, mutest people we can find. This is where the most water will come up in the spring. And I dare say, if I didn't have such a high opinion of myself, if I wasn't so stuck on my power and using other people's power to my advantage, you know, trying to get connected with the right people, if we weren't doing that all the time, the problem that James talks about wouldn't even be there. If I didn't think so highly of myself, I probably wouldn't treat the poor badly and the weak badly and the powerless badly. If we didn't think so highly of ourselves, when someone walks in that door off the street, they wouldn't feel so uncomfortable as they tend to. If we had a place ready for them to sit at the table, not just because there happens to be an empty pew, but because we actually welcome them, having nothing to do with their status, nothing to do with their clothes they're wearing, nothing to do with whether or not they can follow the prayer book like a good Anglican ought to do. There's no value in these people. They're the deaf, mute, outcast, daughter of a foreign woman, dry patch of desert. And if I didn't think so highly of myself, I'd be willing to sit down in that desert and wait for the water of God to flow. God resists the proud, but he makes the weak into his triumph. Don't rely on self. Let him do the work. Amen.